Well, we've been studying the book of Hebrews recently, but we finished. And so I've been working on a new series from one of the books of the Bible, and my series isn't finished, so I'm not ready to start that. Therefore, we're going to do a few other things until whenever I'm ready to launch the next book. And this morning, we're going to be looking in Psalm 25. And I'm going to be reading this morning from the New Living Translation. And I invite you, if you don't have a Living Translation, not talking about the Old Living Bible that was a paraphrase, but the Living Translation, NLT, if you don't have one of those, you can still follow along in whatever translation you have. And you may find what I'm reading to you makes it easier to understand what you're reading in your translation. Psalm 25 is our text this morning. Psalm 25, the book of Psalms, is right in the middle of the Bible. And Psalm 25, this is God's word. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love. For you are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. See how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me? Protect me. Rescue my life from them. Do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. O God, ransom Israel from all its troubles. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In our time of worship, we sang, "This is how I fight my battles." Some people seem to think that if they really surrender their lives to the Lord, they won't have any battles. They won't have any opposition. Everything will just go smoothly. As David says in this psalm, they will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. Well, Sometimes. But that's not always each year, each month, each day. About half the Psalms deal with enemies. Because enemies are a part of life. And so even though our focus needs to be on the Lord, again, lyric from that song, it may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Our focus needs to be on Him. Whatever we're going through, we need to be focused on the Lord. But in the midst of that, as we seek to focus on the Lord, anybody looking at our circumstances might say, it looks like you're surrounded. That's what David was feeling. He says, I am alone, verse 16, and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Verse 19, see how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me. Protect me. Rescue my life from them. So the first thing I would say this morning is the fact that whatever problems you're facing, that's not an extraordinary circumstance. All of us go through difficulty. New Testament says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape so that you may bear up under it. God will be with us in the midst of our trial. And God has already secured the victory. Our victory is in Him. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. So the outcome is certain. But some of us want to get the trophy without having to run the race. Some of us feel like if Jesus has already won, then shouldn't I just be able to coast? I mean, am I really supposed to have to fight my battles if Jesus has already won? Well, the way we fight our battles is by finding our rest in Him. Look at the opening line of this psalm. O Lord, I give my life to You. I trust in You, my God. Have you done that? That's where it starts. If you want a life of victory, it starts with giving your life to the Lord. He has claim on it already. He created all things. You wouldn't exist if it weren't for God. But God not only made us, when every single one of us went our own way, rebelled against Him, said, no, I want to be in charge. I want to be the boss. I want to be in charge of my own life. All of us did that. It's not as if, well, you know, some of you have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is the nature of man. Sadly, we are all born sinners. We're sinners by nature. We don't become sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. David refers back to the sins of his youth. Verse 7. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of Your unfailing love, for You are merciful, O Lord. Verse 11, he says, for the honor of Your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. The wonderful thing is, in order to give our lives to the Lord, we don't have to have lived a sinless life, because then none of us could be saved. In order to give our lives to the Lord, we don't have to be in the upper 50th percentile of self-righteous people. Our self-righteousness is like filthy rags in God's sight. If we think that we can commend ourselves to God on the basis of the fact that we're not as bad as those people over there, we have completely missed the boat. But the fact is, No matter what we've done, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we struggle with, we can begin as David begins this psalm. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Are you trusting in yourself or are you trusting in him? David says, I trust in you, O Lord. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. But disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Years ago, a friend of mine had made some really bad decisions. Isn't that what we all say when we're describing sin? Oh, well, I realize I made some bad choices. I made some bad decisions. Well, this guy had messed up royally. He got in trouble with the law. It was a total financial debacle. It was a professional disgrace. It was bad. And because of that, his reputation was tarnished. It was dirty. And he really gave his life to the Lord. And he began doing the right thing. But from time to time, people who encountered him as he's seeking to live for the Lord and do the right thing would say, hey, wait, I know your name. Aren't you the guy who did thus and such? Now, what do you say in a moment like that? I'll tell you what most people say. It's, oh, well, you can't believe everything you read. There was a lot more to that story that most people don't know. And so you really probably have a misunderstanding about the whole situation. If you knew all the facts, what I said was taken out of context. What I did was misunderstood, misinterpreted. You know how the press can twist things. That's not what my friend said. When people would say, I know your name. Aren't you the guy who did this? And it was a bad thing. He'd say, oh, that's not all. I also did this and I did this. I really messed up. And at that point, when he was honest and truthful about his failures, it cleared up. Because people realized he's not trying to hide something. He's being honest about what he's done wrong. Have you come to that point in your life of saying, I messed up. I need forgiveness. No one who trusts in you, Lord, will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Over in verse 18, feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. Three times in this psalm, David cries out for forgiveness. That is part of the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Do you forgive others? You'd probably find it easier to do so if you would first remember your own sin. We're not in a position to be condemning other people when we realize that we deserve God's wrath. And God has chosen to forgive us. Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father doesn't forgive you. So, those who try to deceive others will be disgraced. Just be honest. Just be honest. Confess your sins and receive God's forgiveness and cleansing. Then David also in verse 4 says, show me the path, O Lord. Show me the right path. Point out the road for me to follow. I have decisions to make. I have over and over, all the time, do I do this or do I do that? Should I go this way or should I go that way? Should I wait or should I press on? Lord, show me the right path. God knows. God isn't saying, well, wait. I'm just trying to figure this out. God knows the end from the beginning. And he has ordained a path for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. God promises that. So, he not only says, show me the right path, O Lord, but look at the next verse. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. You know who I'm counting on? God. I'm an old guy now who's having to make decisions about retirement. I'm not always going to be earning a living. At some point, I'm going to have to rely on investments. Well, what do you invest in right now? What would be really smart? You know, God knows, and I ask him to guide me, and then I remember, if all my investments totally fail, I still have God. He will take care of me. All day long, I put my hope in you. You, Lord. God's not going away. When I'm retired someday, and by the way, there are people who say, there's nothing about retirement in the Bible. That's not true. They need to read the Bible. The priests in the Old Testament had a mandatory retirement age, and it was a lot younger than I am now. So just so you know, there is retirement in the Bible. But when you retire from a particular job, it doesn't mean you can't do anything useful to bless others. But when God has taken care of me all these years, it would be insane for me to think he's suddenly going to drop the ball when I can't remember my name anymore. All day long, I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. He says, I'm counting on God who has already been so faithful. Don't remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love. Think of me, Lord, in terms of your love, for you are merciful, O Lord. I'm not looking for justice. I'm looking for mercy. That's what I need. The Lord is good and does what is right. Say that. The Lord is good and does what is right. Say it again. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who don't make mistakes. Wait a minute, maybe I need my glasses. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. In other words, all of us mess up. All of us make mistakes. All of us turn aside at times. And when that happens, the Lord says, well, that's it for you. I'm done with you. I put you on the right path and you made a detour. So forget you. No. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. I'm so glad God hasn't given up on me. On YouTube they have, and I'm not recommending YouTube, by the way, but I do look at YouTube sometimes. And on YouTube they have what they call fail videos. Okay? It's a collection of embarrassing, stupid things that people have done. And I mean, think of America's funniest videos times a billion. People do stupid things. People make mistakes. And I look back sometimes, I'm reminded of stupid things I've said and done, and it's embarrassing. Some of them are on the greatest hits tape. You know, they just play over and over in my head, and I think, how could I have been so stupid? God, have mercy on me. I was so foolish. I was so wrong. Please, Lord, I know you've already forgiven me, but I'm really embarrassed when I think back to that. Well, the Lord leads the humble in doing what is right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. If you want to do the will of God, God will make sure you do. If you really want to do, the times we go astray are when we really prefer something else to the will of God. And it's always stupid. I mean, God's will for our lives, Romans 12 says, is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, if God's will is perfect, anything else that we choose is less than perfect. It's not good, it's not acceptable, it's not perfect, it's stupid. It's evil. It's destructive. We get hurt because we're not doing what God says. I love the fact that he prays back in verse 4, show me the right path, point out the right road. And then he says in verse 5, lead me. And then he describes, he leads the humble, verse 9, in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads, verse 10, with unfailing love and faithfulness, all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. You know, that's better than having him point out the way. God does point out the way. He does show us the right way, but then he leads us in that way. He leads us in doing what is right. You're not alone when you're walking with God, and he goes before you and comes alongside you and surrounds you with his love. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. He says, I prayed the Lord would guide, and the Lord will guide. He'll show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity. Their children will inherit the land. That's talking about the end game. Meanwhile, we may go through really tough times. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. Now, verse 16 and following shows, and we already read this, but it shows that circumstances can be tough along the journey. Even when you're walking in the Lord's way, even when the Lord is leading you, he leads us sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death. Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. See how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me. When I was in seminary, right at the start of seminary, we were required to take the MMPI, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. And it had a bunch of questions on there that were designed to basically see if you might have some deep underlying psychological problems. And so it asked, for instance, do you ever feel that you have an enemy who is out to destroy you? Well, I had already studied psychology in college, and I knew that paranoia is a real debilitating problem for some people. But all of a sudden, my paranoia kicks in, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I don't want to look like I'm paranoid when I'm filling this out. But if I answer it honestly and biblically, they're going to think I'm nuts. Because, yes, I do know that I have an enemy who's out to destroy me. The Bible says so. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, yeah, I've got an enemy. He's real. He's very powerful. And he's out to destroy me. Satan is like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the father of lies. I have an enemy. He's real, he's powerful, and he's got a host of helpers. But do I really want to say that I feel like I have an enemy who's out to destroy me? Well, yeah, I'll go ahead and be honest, and if they think I'm paranoid, so be it. Another question on there was, do you ever feel as if you deserve to be punished? Well, yeah, I mean, I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. I deserve to be punished. Not more than everybody around me. I'm sure the other people in the room are probably at least as bad as I am. However, if I'm just going to answer honestly and biblically, I have to say, yes, I deserve to be punished. Let me ask you, honestly, do you recognize that your real enemy is a spiritual enemy? The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. They're spiritual. And the biggest battles that you and I have to win are not against people. Even if we have people who are out to get us, and folks, I've been there. I had a group of people who literally promised that they would not eat until they'd killed me. And they weren't speaking figuratively. They weren't talking about damaging my reputation. It was a group of men who wanted to kill me because they didn't like what I'd preached against racism. As you can see, they did not succeed. Hunger eventually overcame their hatred. So, my enemy, if somebody killed me at this point, I would get promoted to glory. If somebody shot me dead, I would just hope that they're a good shot. Because the fact of the matter is, I am going to transition from this world to paradise. I'm going to heaven. And so I don't have to fear earthly enemies. But having lived through that and having had a few encounters since the 1970s where people made threats, I know this. It is no fun having physical human enemies who are out to destroy you. It is no fun being lied about. It is no fun being attacked verbally. But my real enemy is much shrewder than that. And so, whoever my enemies are, whatever difficulty I'm going through, I can join with David in saying, protect me. Rescue my life from them. Do not let me be disgraced because I'm a pretty good guy. Is that what he says? No. He says, do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. That's our hope. That's our confidence. That's our security. That's our peace. That's our joy. It's all in Jesus. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. The reason that integrity and honesty are of value is if you're trusting in Him. And then you don't have to try and deceive others, cover your own sins up so that nobody knows how you messed up. You can be honest. The reason why a lot of people are not honest is they're afraid of what might happen. He says, the reason I'm not afraid is because I'm going to be honest. I don't have to be afraid if I'm putting my trust in the Lord. Oh God, ransom Israel from all its troubles. Wow. Just a few verses earlier, he was talking about, I'm alone. Now David's saying, Lord, I'm not just praying for me. I'm praying for my nation. Ransom Israel from all its troubles. Lord, our only hope is in you. That does not change from situation to situation. That does not change from generation to generation. Lord, O God, ransom Israel from all its troubles. You, O Lord, are our only hope. You are our refuge. You are our fortress. We run to you. Guide us in the way that we should go. Lead us in the way that we should go. And thank you that because of Christ Jesus, we can not only have you near us, with us, Emmanuel, but we can have you in us. As believers in Jesus, we can say from your word, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord. Display your glory in and through us, and we will be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.